Monty, this seems strange to me. The movies had that movie thing, but nonsense has a welcome ring, and heroes don't come easy. Now nonsense isn't new to me. I know my head, I know my feet, but mischief knocked me in the knees. So just let go, just let go. I saw the ocean beat a man.
Please watch your step before getting onto the boat. It's gonna be a little bumpy. My name is Caitlin, and I'll be the captain of today's voyage on the Whale Watching Experience. I will also act as your translator. Yes, you heard that right, your translator. I can speak whale. Ooh, there's one now. Let's take a listen. It's trying to say hi. Look, it's trying to wave at us. Now it's saying, you're listening to WONY Oneonta 90.9 FM Red Dragon Radio. That's kind of random, but all right. Uh-oh, it's lifting its flipper. It's too close to the boat. Oh my God, it's gonna splash. Ugh, keep it locked.
Vision loss is not something that you feel until it happens.
Most people lose their vision from diseases like macular degeneration and glaucoma, not at birth.
3 million Americans have glaucoma, and half don't even know it.
11 million people in the United States have macular degeneration.
So many eye disorders can be treated if caught early.
Make a plan today to get your eyes checked.
Visit brightfocus.org to learn more.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the WONY Weekly Update. Here are some things to look forward to. On Tuesday, September 30th, join the Ultimate Frisbee Team for their practice happening from 4 to 6 p.m. on the intramural field. Also happening on Tuesday, join the Computer Art Club for their meeting happening in Fine Arts 321 from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Lastly, join Student Association for Trivia Tuesday happening from 9 to 10 p.m. in the Red Dragon Theater. On Thursday, join the Student Caribbean Association for a game of Spooky Bingo happening from 6 to 7 p.m. in Alumni Hall. Also happening on Thursday, join the Center for Racial Justice for a powerful panel, discussion, and celebration of Hispanic and Latinx Heritage Month. This will be happening in the Great Room from 6:30 to 8 p.m. On Friday, join OK Crew for their K-pop dance workshop happening from 4 to 5 p.m. in Fine Arts 103. On Saturday, be sure to check out the community table at the Farmers Market. This will be happening on Dietz Street in town from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Saturday, join Student Association for A Night of the Impossible with Larry and Raven. This will be happening from 8 to 9 p.m. in the ballroom. On Sunday, join WONY for our general body meeting and come and learn about our awesome club. This will be happening from 3 to 4 p.m. in Fitzell Hall 303. Hope to see you there. This has been your WONY Weekly Update on WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. Be sure to have a great week and keep it locked.
Yo, everyone, what's going down? This is DJ Nosfermarktu, DJ Nosfermarktu with What's in Your Pocket coming here live on Friday, October 10th. We're here with Danny Lappin. He's awesome. He's a local celebrity here. Say hello there, Danny.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. 100%. We're just going to play a little Devo here to start things off. Then we're going to get talking for about 40 so minutes, and I'll play a song to get us out of here. But I'm really looking forward to this interview. And, thank TGIF for everybody. Here's some Devo to start everybody off for their great Friday morning. All right, everybody. We are back here. Once again, it's Friday morning. This is episode 63 of What's in Your Pocket, Friday, October 10th, in the basement of Hunt Union. It is 8:07. We are keeping it locked here with Danny Lappin. So before we start our digging into questions and stuff like that, Danny, give us a little background. Where you from? What do you do? What's the current sitch in your life? All that kind of stuff.
Awesome. First, let me say, I just love to be here. It's great to have these kind of interviews, talking with local folks. It gives us a chance to connect with people we might not know otherwise, so it's awesome.
Sweet.
So a little bit about me. My personal title that I like to use the most is public nuisance.
this is true.
I'm originally from the great city of San Francisco, California. Originally, like, you know, just a West Coast guy myself. Grew up and then moved down to Southern California for college. I had grand visions of playing baseball in college, but blew out my knee as a senior in high school. Had to realize that I needed to use my brain for something, then moved right on to environmental science. I found a passion for protecting our communities from heavy industry. Figured out that I needed to know the rules in order to get anything done. So I focused on land use planning, environmental review, environmental law. Got myself into graduate school by some magic fortune of luck because I wasn't the best student growing up. I was more interested in playing pickup basketball and men's league baseball and running around with my fraternity brothers than actually studying. So that was fun. I got myself into graduate school at Bard College in upstate New York.
Yeah, down, Bard, Annandale.
Yeah, down in the Hudson Valley where Steely Dan went, Avril Lavigne, you know. Chevy Chase,
that's
all those
right.
Good guys.
Steely Dan is not going back to Annandale. That's what they say in my old school, but
exactly. Well, you know, we take pride in him at Bard. So
that's right.
Got my master's degree and met a girl who later became my wife, Lindy. And I asked her at the end of my grad program if she wanted to move back to California with me. And she's like, hell no, I'm staying in New York. So I realized that, okay, well, if I'm staying in New York, I got to get a job. Otherwise, I'm just going to be a bum on her couch, and that's not going to go well for our relationship. So I took the first job I got at the Otsego County Conservation Association, working as an environmental planner. Doing a little bit of everything, helping our governments figure out kind of what they want to do in the future, help communities understand their environment, how they want to protect it or if they want to protect it. Working with nonprofit groups on a wide range of projects, ranging from like the review of high voltage transmission lines going down the middle of Otsego County to developing a long range plan to protect Otsego County's farmland. In 2017, a guy named Rich Sternberg, Democratic power broker, said, hey, you want to run for local office? I was like, I have no idea what that involves. So I was like, sure, I'll do it. And quickly realized that I enjoyed serving the community, meeting the fellow residents of Oneonta's Wards 5 and 6, got elected by 5 votes, served 2 terms on the board, and then got a job with New York State doing kind of what I did in Otsego County, working in the kind of planning space, helping communities turn their downtowns around, getting to travel all over the Mohawk Valley, got to rub shoulders with the governor. That was cool, you know, and then now, just day-to-day, I help advise local political campaigns. I like to kind of keep myself involved on social media, just informing people about what's going on and serving my community on a variety of nonprofit boards. So just living the dream, as I say.
It's awesome. Many of you may have seen Danny either on the playing some kind of softball and kicking butt out there or walking around with his dog and reading a book at the same time, which I always find intriguing.
Yeah, that's my jam, you know.
That's his jam.
I have a Rottweiler mix, and she's 75 pounds, and I'm just reading my book and walking, and it looks like I have no idea what's going on. I just to keep it that way, you know. Let appearances deceive.
That's right. What I want to do is talk things at Oneonta, and then a couple other, if we get to it, hopefully other kind of sporty things, because you're quite knowledgeable in that area as well, and we've had good discussions on that. But let's start right now with a couple things Oneonta-based, right? So the big thing is we have a relatively big election coming up for the city of Oneonta, correct?
Oh, yeah, you know it.
Yeah, the mayoral race. going on here. Mark Drenick, who is said he would only do one term, has decided, like James K. Polk, who did the same thing, yeah. I'm leaving, right? He does not want to be in that position anymore, so he is not running. So what do you think about this race? Just general thoughts on the entire thing.
I mean, so this race, you know, I have a good friend who's running, Dan Butterman. I still haven't forgiven him for pouring water on my head. We did a fundraiser together, raising That's money right. for Clear Path for Veterans and Opportunities for Otsego. We both raised over $2,000. And actually, one of my colleagues on the county board, Andrew Marietta, gave Dan the winning donation at like 10 p.m. the night before because we were tied. And then him and his daughters got to pour water on my head in snowy weather. It was like 30 degrees out. It was during COVID, so I had to have a mask. Felt like I was getting waterboarded. But even though, you know, that happened, I still forgive him. So Dan is, you know, obviously the Democratic candidate. You got Luisa Montanti on the Republican side. Don't know her as well. But with the mayoral race, kind of the situation, it's like the race that isn't happening. Right?
Yeah.
You have two candidates. I haven't seen any of them really going door to door. I've seen a few of them make appearances out and about, a few of them starting to kind of raise awareness about local issues. Just as a point of reference, we actually got to see their platforms in writing for the first time yesterday.
Yeah, I read that yesterday morning. It was very interesting. And I think what you had said, I saw it was like Dan's were very short, concise, and kind of. They were short and concise. And Luisa's were very, very long and
with lots of M dashes. It looked like it was written by ChatGPT. It just seemed a little off.
Yeah, I was, and there was no specifics.
Yeah, it was like smart development, fiscal responsibility.
Anywhere with any of it. Now, there were some good things that were brought up, I thought. You know, on both sides, of course.
Oh, definitely.
You know, I'm not somebody who's like, oh, I don't like this candidate, so I'm not going to listen to anything. But it'll be very intriguing to me. From my perspective, Oneonta is a pretty Democratic.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Where our city's Democratic.
The numbers are heavily Democratic, you know, and yep. Generally, if you're a Republican running, you'd be lucky to get, you know, anywhere close to 40% of the vote.
Yep.
Generally, it's like a 70-30 split. Heavily, the advantage is so high. But with Mark Drenick's term, you know, as a visionary kind of lightning rod guy that he is, you know, he has a lot of great ideas. He's very passionate, and he attracts discussion and engagement like no other. But with that, it made Oneonta hyper-focused on local issues for the first time since I've actually lived here. I've never seen the level of engagement that kind of generated yeah. during his mayoral term. And what that means is that people are kind of ready to vote for mayor. And if they're ready to vote for mayor, the candidates need to enter into that solemn social contract with the actual, you know, people that they represent. You go door to door, you need to go on people's porches, you need to explain why it's a good idea to vote for you and actually get a chance to earn their trust and say, hey, I will represent your interest. Tell me what you want me to do. And if that doesn't happen, then, you know, the Democratic candidate runs in risk of being attached to the prior administration, and the Republican can kind of just let the Democrat kind of run themselves into the ground if they're not careful.
Yes.
But since nobody's really doing anything, the speculation and kind of the frustration that the people have is they may not actually come out and vote, and that's a disservice to democracy, because in addition to the mayoral race, we actually have county board races.
That is true.
And our county board races, you know, need Democratic support as well.
That's right. I urge everybody, and I know a lot of people are disgruntled with the system, as am I. I'm always disgruntled with the system. I am a, I'm not an affiliate of either of the parties, but I do go out and vote every time, and because I think it's important. And I ran, like Danny, I ran for the same seat that Danny ran for, and he won by 5 votes.
Yep.
I lost by 2 or 3. I forget what the final count was.
It was
crazy. Two. So it was like, and people that I talked to were like, oh yeah, I didn't go and vote. And they were like friends of mine. There was a ton of friends of mine who were like, oh yeah, I just didn't bother to go vote because my vote doesn't count. And it's like, that's not true. Like, especially at the local level, your vote actually really counts. It's not, there's no other electorate that's getting to vote with your vote, like a national election for president or something.
Yeah, exactly. Like even today, you know, at the county level, you know, it votes particularly matter because, you know, with the big ugly bill that the current administration passed. You know, the cuts to Medicaid and SNAP are being passed under the local government.
That's right.
And Otsego County is facing some really harsh, you know, financial realities. But more specifically, when you get on the ground, it's people who might not be able to afford food, might not be able to get health care for their families. They might not be able to get access to mental health or addiction services. It's a really big deal, you know. And I think at the county level, people just feel kind of disconnected from what the county actually does. But the county plays like a tremendous role in things like economic development, especially with the rail yards. They fund Otsego Now, which is our industrial development agency that owns the property.
Yep.
They help provide funding through, you know, has a pass-through to entities like Otsego OFO. We have our DSS office down at 197 Main, or not 197, on Main Street, the county office building. We provide kind of services about waste management. We help, you know, with clean energy financing. We do a lot of work with rural EMS. You know, we have an Otsego County ambulance system that just got passed. And, you know, if we face really stark austerity situations, we may have to make some difficult decisions about the critical services that the county provides. But also, like, you know, in terms of city races, like the city administration and city government plays a tremendous role in our day-to-day life, and votes really do matter because I can't, you know, as you know, just as much as I do, when people go online and they see kind of what's happening to them, they like, who's actually representing me? I'm like, hey, it's your city council person. Hey, it's the mayor. Do you have a relationship with them? Do you know them? Can you stop them on the street and talk to them? Because when things affect you, you need to look to a leader or someone who you feel can actually take you seriously enough to respond to your concerns and serve you like a good public servant would.
Right? 100%. It was funny. Last night I messaged Scott Herring. He's my city council person for the 6th Ward. And I messaged him last night asking him a question. And he messaged me right back within like 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah.
It was awesome. And it was like, oh, hey, cool. Like, you're here. Like, I know if I reach out to him, he will respond to me, you know, which is a very important thing, especially once again at the local level. Hey, what's going on in the 6th Ward? I need to know something, you know, and he pays attention to it, which is nice. Speaking of the mayoral thing as well, theoretically, there is on the 28th of October a debate.
Yep.
But this is really funny. So I'm also doing like a live playing of Rocky Horror Picture Show on Halloween night at the Foothills at 10 o'clock.
I would rather go to that.
Yeah. So, well, that's on Halloween night, right? Yeah. So we're looking for a dress rehearsal time, and we were supposed to do it the night before on the 30th. And Jeff Doyle, who runs it, I said, "Hey, what are the other times that week?" And he said, "Well, Monday after 8." And then this is a text quote. Sorry, Jeff, if you're listening, but I'm going to read this just because I think it's important. Tuesday, there's supposedly a mayoral debate happening on our main stage at Foothills, yet I have heard and seen absolutely nothing about it since it was booked. That doesn't mean you couldn't be upstairs during that time being a degenerate. this is what he texted me. So I think that right there, being 2 weeks away, sums up this mayoral race.
Yeah, I mean,
in a nutshell, there it is. Like, you know, so
100%.
If this does happen and you don't like the debate, you can come upstairs to the loft and watch our Rocky Horror Picture Show dress rehearsal of us playing this stuff live.
Exactly. Well, if the degenerates belong up there, then I would be the first one in line, right?
That's right. anyways, so I find this whole thing intriguing.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, just really quickly, like the fact that the debate's not being publicized, you know, it's an issue. You get to see the first side-by-side comparison of the candidates. Everyone always wants to ask kind of, you know, where people stand on stuff. And technically in the kind of grand discourse of political races, debates, quote unquote, don't matter, but they do matter when breaking through to the elite. Like when I ran in 17, when I got to debate against Len Carson and actually prove that I was only partially degenerate, people were like, hey, Danny's not so bad. Maybe I can tolerate him. But it's a way of just breaking through the glass ceiling of like kind of the local political judgment. And the fact that it's not being publicized prevents these candidates who are going to spend like, you know, 2 hours of their time to go there to be able to break through that kind of glass ceiling.
Yeah. 100%. Something needs to happen. I'm pretty intrigued about the whole thing and see what happens. You know, it's very soon. It's less than a month away, the election, right?
Yeah, 20 days or something like that.
Yeah, it's crazy. So Okay, so along with that, there's a couple hot topics in Oneonta that I want to pull up. Some of these are small, some of them are bigger. Here's what is Danny's take on this. Now, I saw somebody online complain about Market Street being too skinny. Now, I drove down that thing yesterday, and I've driven down a bunch of times passing buses, and I didn't have an issue with it. When I drive down that street, I go 15 miles an hour or so because it's a short street. There's a lot of pedestrians running around. I don't feel like you should be cruising down through the main part of the city going fast anyways. I could see how with the parking on it and maybe some tractor trailers going through, it can be a little tight. But what's your take on what they did to Market Street? Let's not talk about where the RSS was going. Let's just talk about the construction going on. And what do you think of it?
Sure. So for people who know me, they know that while I'm a massive hypocrite and drive a car, I actually hate cars.
Yes.
I'd rather be walking my dog and reading a book. If I could walk everywhere, bike everywhere, I'd do it. So the whole kind of thought process behind the Market Street project is they want to make it uncomfortable to drive. They want you to feel uncomfortable driving any faster than 15, 20, 25 miles an hour. It's called the kind of design speed of the road. It's curvy for a reason. It wants you to feel like it's a little too narrow to drive 40 miles an hour. It's a little too bumpy to drive 35 miles an hour.
Yeah, you can't. There's speed bumps everywhere.
Yeah, and, you're worried about kind of running into pedestrians, so you slow down and keep your wits about you. It's called a complete street in a way. It allows for buses, trucks, cars, people to walk, people to bike. It's kind of designed in a way to be function more like a street and less like a road, or as we call it in the planning world, a strode, right?
If
you have these like wide streets, you can just feel back in the day when Market Street pre-construction, you could go down there 45 and not care, you know?
Yeah.
And when you have people, leaving the Fox or, leaving Clinton Plaza or walking down from Sip and Sail the Jug
or foothills,
going back and forth, you really run the risk, and thank God it never happened, but of a pedestrian collision, and that's because the design speed of the road was so fast. And if you have to ask yourself in a downtown, why do you need to drive so fast and go through it? You're supposed to kind of drive slowly, linger, take in the sights, maybe think about stopping somewhere and being able to see the kind of attractions and amenities along Market Street. So they really just design it to make you go slow. And this a more progressive approach to kind of controlling car traffic and speed rather than having like a speed camera like they do in Albany and finding you so that it goes into the general fund and they can use it to go to another training or something.
Yeah.
Or like having a cop sitting out there and writing you a ticket and putting points on your license. So
true. Yeah, I actually like the road. And I know it's kind of a little crazy because right now people are getting a little agitated at the we'll talk about the roundabout in a second. That construction's almost done. Both of these, there's two big projects going on. There's the roundabout thing, and then there's the Market Street. Market Street is almost done. The roundabout is almost done, which is very cool. When you're trying to get to Southside from inside Oneonta, you have to kind of go all the way down to Main Street by Stewart's and then take a left there on Southside.
Yep.
And that causes some backup of traffic, which, if you just know ahead of time, you just budget in an extra 5 or 10 minutes and you'll make it through.
Right.
I've known because I've been here forever, so I know some little tricky things of back streets and stuff to kind of cut through in order to try to get through stuff. But for me, it hasn't been a deterrent or annoying enough to complain about it at all. I'm not going to complain about that kind of thing when I'm like, the end result is going to be good. So I think I see a lot of people going complaining because of the roundabouts working, and then they have to take Market Street to get through around the back. And then they're like, well, there's construction here and there's construction everywhere, but you can't make it better without construction. So with that being said, let's go to the roundabout, right?
Yeah.
Your feelings on the roundabout.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love a roundabout. Just waiting for the day when someone goes Dukes of Hazzard and just drives over the top.
That's
and just
right.
Goes flying through the air. But, I like the roundabout because, again, as someone who walks around a lot, I definitely hate, having to kind of take your life into your hands and kind of cross Lettuce Highway. And just as like a matter of kind of common sense, right, you have a highway that lets out into a residential street. What that means is that people are just going to go bomb down Lettuce and go right across onto Elm Street, is it? Yeah.
Maple.
Maple, yeah.
Maple
Street. Yeah, so they're going to go onto Maple Street. going fast, and that runs the risk of pedestrian collisions because you have these before you had these like gigantic crosswalks, and you know you're going into like a turn lane on both sides, and yes. Then the speed limit on Lettuce, you know, goes down to 30, but people are still slowing down from 55, so they're going.
They're
going pretty fast, and I like, you know, honestly, the roundabout. What I like about it is that, you know, the state did it. So the state's not going to run into kind of budget issues or delays in terms of permitting and regulations like a city government would, especially when they're working with the state. The state's able to take on cost overruns. You know, that's kind of scary because if something gets more expensive, it's like more of our tax dollars go into that project. But they're able to kind of eat that cost and proceed and stay on schedule better. And obviously, you have to acknowledge like the delay. You know, I don't like having to go around, you know, Main Street down Chestnut and go swing around when I have to go to Albany for work. But, you know, it's a small price to pay because I know people who got hit on Lettuce Highway by a car.
Yeah.
And just seeing the initial construction, you know, I'm slowing down more. The pedestrian crossings are really short, so people can kind of go across easier. They don't have to worry about getting hit, especially at night, especially if kids are going to and from the bars. You want to make sure that they can get home safe. And, you know, the roundabouts, you're only really looking one way when you drive, right? You're only looking to your left.
Yes.
And you can actually just go. So that way, you know, you just reduce the risk of collision. And that's actually, you know, a pretty nice kind of project. Plus, you know, not every, you know, transportation project gets 80% of the cost covered by the state.
That's right.
But in a way, it's 80% of the tax dollars we already put into our transportation programs coming back to Oneonta, which is awesome.
Yep. I think it's good. It's funny. I have been going through, since they opened up part of it, I would say, like, what, two-thirds of it's open or something like
that.
Yeah,
pretty much.
And coming from Main Street, Price Chopper Way, going towards, you know, downtown, coming from Lettuce Highway into town, onto Main Street, and then also coming from Maple Street from, like, you know, the Oneonta High School, coming down that way, you can enter those three ways. Yep. Well, two of those, three of those, you can go through the whole thing. Those three. It works great.
Yeah.
Like, just those little things work great. And I have never spent, the cool thing about the roundabout, even when it's busy, you never really spend more than 10 seconds at the roundabout.
If
you have to wait 10 seconds to get into it, that's a long time.
Yeah, it is, you know, and I think it's...
Which is not a long time.
Traffic moves a lot. You know, civil engineers love it because their main focus is traffic flow, right?
That's right.
They want cars to be moving smoothly, and there's less delays associated with a kind of a stop sign. Planners like me love it because it reduces the risk of getting hit by a car. It actually makes you slow down because it's a new complicated driving environment, unless you're like Mario Kart and you're just drifting around, you know, in a little go-kart, which I kind of want to try someday, but
sure,
don't tell anybody.
Yeah, somebody was saying, I read this morning, is like anybody ever wanted to just sit in the roundabout for like an hour, you know, and drive?
I mean, it'd just be fun to have someone throwing bananas at cars from the middle of the roundabout.
That's right. or the mushrooms, right?
Yeah, but it's just
launching mushrooms. Yeah,
at people. It's just like, you know, it's much safer. It actually just also makes driving more convenient.
Yeah,
it's a good project, and of course, people are concerned about the tax dollar, tax investment. But what, you know, a lot of people don't realize is that we've already paid for these programs.
Yeah, already paid. It's yeah.
You know,
we're
okay. So instead of when we oppose these projects, the money just goes to another community, and then now we're like, oh great, now we just paid for a roundabout in Delaware County, and we didn't. What about our roundabout?
That's right. It's coming back to us. We're taking it back. Okay, so RSS. Let's hit this. So RSS originally comes in, right, and proposes to put something in the 6th Ward.
Yep.
The 6th Ward, there's this big everybody freaking out, right? There's pitchforks come out and all this kind of stuff, and they stop the project. There's all these signs, RSS, not for the 6th Ward, not for Oneonta, whatever, all this stuff, right?
Right.
They stop it, which I don't, how do they actually, so my question is this, how did they stop it originally?
Because
it was, they owned the property then too, right?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't privy to those kind of backroom discussions, but generally how projects like that would get stopped before they go in front of the Planning Commission is that RSS requires tax credit financing from the New York State Office of Homes and Community Renewal. Back under Reagan, there's this kind of public-private partnership where you know, the federal government through the states would give these big banks and corporations tax breaks in exchange for them investing in, you know, affordable housing projects like the one in the Sixth Ward. Those kind of tax credit programs require the support and blessing of the community in which the project is going in. So my theory is that, you know, the prior administration before Mark, you know, said that we're not going to support an application of this kind at that site. So
gotcha.
It basically made it so that they couldn't afford to build the project at the time.
Okay. So it goes from there, right? And then it gets kind of denied, right? And then all of a sudden the RSS proposes to put it at, is it 24 Market
Street? 27.
27 Market Street, which was the old
Oneonta Sales Building.
Oneonta Sales Building, which was then owned by the 12 tribes bought it, and then the city bought it back for, I don't know, a dollar or something. I don't know what they bought it back for. I'm not, that's not correct, but whatever it is, right?
Back. Yeah, I don't
they
know
bought it back, and then they knocked it down, right? And now it's like kind of sitting there as like a makeshift parking lot, right? So we have this plot down there that could either be something like an RSS project, or could be a parking lot, or could be some kind of commercial building, right? Which, you know, two of those things would raise taxes. One would cause us to pay taxes, which would be the parking lot, correct? Yep. Right? So this proposal goes in, it gets denied in kind of a messy, very messy situation with the last vote and meeting. It kind of got all crazy, which I don't necessarily want to get into. With that being said, RSS is just like, okay, screw everybody. We own the property in the Sixth Ward. It is zoned for what they want to do.
Exactly, yep.
And they are probably just going to build it,
yeah.
I think. So tell me about what you think about the newest thing going on with the RSS now in the Sixth Ward.
Yeah, I mean, so RSS, to their credit, learned a lot from the first time they came in 17. They realize that they need to kind of meet, you know, the people of Oneonta where they are, hear their concerns, talk with them, listen to them, kind of explain how everything works, try to really engage the public and make them a partner in this project. It didn't work for 27 Market Street, but I have to give them their flowers for actually doing that, because it takes a special kind of person to go in front of the public, be told how bad your project is all the time, you know, hear from the occasional person like me who supports the project. But just really try to kind of win over hearts and minds. And that's kind of a thankless job, and, you know, give them respect for doing that. So the current version of the project, they're still kind of trying to meet people where they are. They're actually having an open house at 9 River Street, I think, next Wednesday.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty excited. I'm going to stop down there.
From 4 to 6. So they're going into the community. They're meeting people where they are, and they're going to explain kind of how their project will function. They're going to try to demonstrate that they have the ability to support the folks, you know, with mental illness who are going to live at the site. As someone who deals with, you know, OCD myself, I'm, you know, one of those people with a mental illness, something that I deal with on my own, you know, and I've gone to therapy for. So I think they're going to try to get an tell the people in the Sixth Ward, it's like, hey, you know, the people who live there are people you see every day.
Yeah.
The people you see around town, you may not know they're struggling with kind of a mental challenge. You may not know what's going on in their personal life, but they deserve a kind of a place to live too. So there's going to be some education, some explanation about the function of the project. The current version, you know, it's fully compliant with the city zoning code. It has a little bit too much parking for me. I'm more like into in the open space, you know, playground, bike racks, stuff like that. But it fully complies with the code. They have all the supporting documentation, which shows how the project works, how it complies with the code, how it's consistent with the city's comprehensive plan. The plans are done by professional architects and engineers. You can really get a sense of how it should fit in. And they're really open to hearing from the public about their concerns as well. And the Planning Commission also is going above and beyond, trying to engage the public and hear from them and do things the right way. So overall, I mean, I think that this is a great project. And then also just if you look at kind of the tax issue, because I know a lot of people are concerned, well, hey, you know, Oneonta has, is a disproportionate share of affordable housing projects. We have a disproportionate, they don't pay taxes, they pay a pilot, you know, which is a payment in lieu of taxes. But if you actually look at the amount of investment going into that property, it's like going to be in the neighborhood of $30 million.
Yeah.
And if in the parcel itself isn't that big, so the, even with a tax break from a payment in lieu of taxes, they're still paying more than the equivalent amount of single family homes in the surrounding area and property tax per year.
Yeah.
So they're in, and they're also housing, you know, going to house like, you know, the 61 units could have like, you know, let's say two people per unit, you know, over 100 people.
No, it's, I think it's like, I think it's great. Yeah. And, you know, I think one of the, a few things that you brought up is just like people with, you know, some people who have some mental disabilities or whatever. I think a lot of people all of a sudden go, when they hear that word, they think of like, oh, somebody's running down the street being crazy, trying to steal my stuff, which is like such a small, minute percentage of people that have mental challenges or you know, how shall we say, you know, it's just funny. I think people's beliefs and or not beliefs or thoughts on that are kind of skewed to what we see with media and stuff like that.
You absolutely.
Obviously, you know. Yeah. But the other thing is that I personally, I like where it's going to be, and I think it'll do a couple things. Number one, my thoughts on this, it's going to offer some housing for people that need housing, obviously. Two, we'll have more bus runs, I believe. They'll have to probably have more bus runs coming down there. And that River Street bus does not run very frequently. It runs every other... It swaps with, I think, Chestnut Street, or is it Chestnut Street?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so. Well, one of the other streets, it swaps with that. So it'll probably go back to being maybe once every half hour, once an hour, whatever it is there, which is great because I actually see, I live on river, and I see a lot of people actually taking the bus. So it'd be nice to have that going. And also, I'm really hoping that if this gets done, that they'll put some kind of convenience store, bodega, something around there for another business. I think it'd be awesome.
Oh, totally.
To have in that area. There was a couple back years ago, Richco's store and stuff like that. It'd be really cool to have a little convenience store down there as well. That would be walking distance.
Oh, yeah. It's zoned for it already. I mean, you got, you know, Captain Cook's is right there.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, in theory, he could expand. He's a giant parking lot. Could get an addition for that, you know.
Sure.
Build that out.
But even down near where I am, you know, there's a lot of land over there.
Yeah, totally.
That's just kind of not owned, but open for this, that people could sell off parcels or whatever and have some kind of convenience store down there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. And, you know, businesses, you know, work down there. Look at Dazzo's and look at Bella Michaels. They're doing great. You know, if you're putting a housing project, you got the Yaks Youth Center down there, you got the Child Care Center, you got the Little League. You know, if you had a bodega kind of selling kind of convenience store goods down there, it's all walkable.
Yeah.
And you got kind of a captive kind of neighborhood at the 6th Ward because the 6th Ward is kind of largely disconnected from the kind of the surrounding city by the, you know, D&H Railroad. So you kind of got that, like, you know, captive neighborhood that could, you know, patronize a, you know, bodega would be wonderful because, like, you know, I don't want to, you know, when I coach Little League, as much as I like getting stuff at the concession stand, you know, I'd like to get other stuff from the bodega and just drive down.
Yeah, we have a Stewart's too, which is great. You know, I visit there all the time. But we don't need something with a gas station necessarily, something smaller that's walkable, especially if all these people are going to be there and you need something quick, you know, instead of walking up a half a mile, or it's 0.7 to my street from the corner. So it would be almost a mile from where they're, I think 0.8 or so, 0.8 or 0.9 from where they're proposing to put the building to where the Stewart's is.
I mean, I'd like to see the Boys and Girls Club. You know, they could get something right there because it'd be like, you know, if they had that, they could earn revenue from the rent. But also, they got, you know, you got all the parents coming in to pick up the kids. You got all the kids coming from Riverside Elementary. It'd be wonderful if they could just kind of walk up the street, you know, get some food and then go to school, you know?
No, it'd be amazing. And just a thought on River Street. I bought a house there in 2019, which was 6 years ago. And I'll tell you, the amount of work that has been put into that area of Oneonta since I bought my house is amazing. It looks so much better. Like 20 years ago, I went down there and I would be like, oh man, like this is looking pretty rough. It's looking pretty rough. But there's just been a lot of work. The streets have gotten all, like the main River Street's gotten repaved. They redid all the drains and stuff. They're still working on it on a lot of the side roads and stuff like that. But everything's starting to look pretty nice, and a lot of people have moved out and younger folks have bought houses down there and have done a lot of work to the houses.
Yeah, it's River Street is a kind of, you know, it's a lower deck, right? But it was originally built a pre-car neighborhood, every, you know, with good sidewalks, people, and the way that the streets are laid out, it kind of encourages people to interact and walk around to meet your neighbor.
Yeah, they're all, like, a lot of them are double-wide streets. I live on Miller, and it's awesome because kids are running down there all the time, riding their bikes. But it's a very awesome neighborhood.
It is.
You know, a lot of people say, oh, God, you live in the lower deck. And it's like, man, I love living in the lower deck.
So, like, you know, I'm going to be a turncoat because I'm a Ward 5 guy.
Yep.
It's my favorite neighborhood in the city, hands down, 6th Ward, all the way.
It's awesome. Cool. So there's some thoughts on whatever. I'm going to turn our conversation a little bit to the sporting world here because I'm totally interested in your opinion on a few things. First of all, I'm looking across at Danny right now. He's wearing a San Francisco Giants hoodie. Boo.
Go Giants.
So I am a Cincinnati Reds fan. I have been for my entire life. And this year, the end of the season was totally bonkers in terms of the Reds, the Mets, the Indians, or not the Indians, the
Guardians,
right?
The Guardians,
we're still calling the Indians. Cleveland. But everything kind of got wonky at the end here. You know, the Yanks had this giant surge. What do you take on the end of the season, the world's, what's been going on so far in the playoffs, and who do you want to see in the World Series, and who do you think's going to win?
Oh, man. You know, you don't forget my Giants, you know. despite our best intentions, we were within striking distance of the wild card until
you were.
Our bullpen forgot how to pitch, and we forgot how to hit. if you can't pitch or hit, then you're not going to really win. But
it's true.
I'm loving the pickups of Willy Adames, the shortstop, Rafael Devers, first base and DH. You know, we got Jung-Hoo Lee, in center field. Giants are great. I was impressed with the Reds. You know, you got Hunter Green, you know, the ace of the future throwing 100.
Yeah, I mean, he got hit up by the Dodgers, but that's the Dodgers.
I mean, the Dodgers spent, like, what, $1 billion on their lineups?
So, yeah, right.
So, like, but he's still got, you know, he throws 100 miles an hour. He's got, like, 4 pitches. He's got good control. I mean, if you're going up against, like, you know, MVP after MVP in the Dodgers lineup, you have one bad day. But if, you know, you get hit, especially if you throw 100 miles an hour and they make contact with the fastball, it's going. I was, you know, as someone who doesn't like the Mets, I was, you know, enjoyed their slow motion collapse.
You know, evil.
The Mets announcer, kind of at that last loss where they kind of fell into wild card, they're like, and the Mets, you know, slow motion collapse is complete. And I'm like, everything's going according to my plans. But as a salty Giants fan after we're eliminated, but like, you know, I'm more of a Yankees guy and they got just absolutely clobbered by the Blue Jays. And, you know, the Reds I like because they're a young team. They built their team from the ground up. They're not, you know, buying talent, which I always resent in kind of this modern era where you're trying to build these super teams. The Reds actually kind of built and invested in their young guys. They've got a lot of promising talent. They're cultivating a sense of loyalty to the team, which is important, which I really like.
Yeah, hopefully they just don't trade them away like they've been doing.
No, they got to keep them. I think, you know, when you get the Great American Ballpark, you know, filled up, you know, you got to, you know, stay true to your fan base.
That's right.
And they're investing their guys. As far as who I like in the playoffs right now, I mean, I'm a Seattle fan. I like the big dumper, Cal Raleigh.
Yeah, the big dumper.
Yeah, you know, if anyone with that nickname, you know, I wanted to be the big dumper, maybe just on the softball diamond, I guess. But, you know, Cal Raleigh, switch hitter, you know, 60 home runs, you know.
Yeah, and for a catcher, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, you know, with those knees, you know, going out, standing up, squatting down, it's hard to kind of catch up with those pitches when your knees are killing you. You got Eugenio Suarez, you got Julio Rodriguez, you got George Kirby. They got a really solid team. I like them. You know, the Blue Jays, Vladdy Guerrero, you know, a spirit animal. You know, he's like your classic kind of, you know, big slugger dude, you know, at first base. They got Alejandro Kirk, who shows that people like my size, like 5'9", can actually play, you know, baseball. So I'm like liking the Mariners and the Blue Jays. You know, being Japanese myself, you know, I'm, you know, if you're a Giants fan and you say anything good about the Dodgers, you're going to hell. But I will say that I appreciate my Japanese compatriots. You know, you got Otani, you got Roki Sasaki, you got Yoshinobu Yamamoto. I like them, but I hate the Dodgers. I hope they lose.
So
I'm rooting.
They are fun to watch, though.
They are fun.
Because they're good.
Yeah, I mean, they're just. They're disgusting. You know, you have like five Cy Young winners in the starting lineup, or starting pitching rotation. You got solid and excellent bullpen. Again, those are kind of homegrown talents. A lot of their bullpen guys, with the exception of Sasaki, are all like kind of homegrown people, or people that they got for, you know, song and dance from a team that didn't believe in them anymore. I'm liking the Brewers and the Cubs. You know, Brewers and Giants have a little bit of a rivalry. We stole their shortstop, and I'm rooting for the Cubs again, you know, because they got...
Oh, you're going for the Cubbies, huh?
Yeah, they got my Japanese compatriots, you know, Shota Imanaga, Seiya Suzuki, but also, like, you know, PCA I like. But obviously, if I had to choose between the Reds and the Cubs, I like an underdog, so I'm always going the Reds way.
Nice.
Even though Hunter Green killed us in the regular season.
Who are you taking for the, you know, what do you think is going to be the World Series, and how many games are going? Who's winning?
I'm going the Blue Jays and the Dodgers, and I'm taking the Blue Jays in five.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to, we always bet on stuff. Actually,
I owe you a Star Mix.
Star Mix, but we're going to make another bet right now. You ready?
Yes.
And this would either cancel it out or I get two. You ready?
Yeah.
For Star Mix. I'm going Blue Jays, Dodgers. Dodgers in six.
All right. I got Blue Jays in five.
So we'll see what happens there. I would like to see Brewers, Mariners, because neither of them have won a World Series before.
That would be amazing. You know, the Brewers pitching is really, really great. They're a good hitting team, you know, but the Mariners are a great hitting team, and their pitching is getting better. I mean, I think they have, like, one of their bullpen guys has like a below 2 ERA, which is almost unheard of
in the modern
era. But, I mean, honestly, like, I can't even imagine, like, standing in against any of those guys throwing, like, 100 miles an hour with, like, a 95-mile-an-hour slider. It would just make me, like, faint from fear or something.
I went to a batting cage last summer in Cooperstown because my son was looking at baseball cards, and I was, oh, there's a batting cage. I'll go to one here, you know? And, you know, I went against, like, a 75-mile-an-hour pitch, and I was just dumbfounded by that. Like, I never played baseball. I played one little league year, you know, back when I was, like, 9 years old or something. So I don't know anything about how fast a pitch looks. And I saw, like, a 75-mile-an-hour pitch come at me, and I was like, what?
Like, you're like, what just happened?
No, I had no idea. And I was like, how is somebody going to hit something at 100 miles an hour? Yeah. It totally boggles my mind. And you got guys throwing, I mean, I think Chapman threw 105.
Yeah,
this year?
It looks like the ball's teleporting. Like, the fastest I've seen, like, you know, high school and college was like 97. And the ball's whistling at you. It literally feels like, if you ever saw, like, the old movie Big Green.
Yeah.
You know, and the goalie sees, like, these, like, knights charging, or, like, a pirate, like, shooting guns at them, and, like, they're just totally terrified. It's like that, you know? And I was a good hitter. I'm, like, you know, still a good, decent hitter, you know? I have an overinflated ego, of course, because I play softball, right? But I like to think of myself.
You are good. I remember you posting some stats. You're like, I'm 9 for 9 with 7 home runs or some crap. I was like, you know, like a Danny ripping up the softball
field. But, you know, but, like, yeah, I mean, you know, the difference between 90 and 100 is just insane. You know, I don't know how these guys hit it. You know, you have to have these just, you know, immaculate swing. You have to be able to swing like a 35-ounce bat, like at 85 miles an hour to even catch up to it. And just this sheer strength. So it's just absolutely amazing to watch people hit. It's just like one of those things that you're just captivated by the sheer technical difficulty of that sport.
Yeah, it's crazy. All right, last discussion. You ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. The NBA season is starting very soon. Now, as you may not know, many of the listeners, but personally, I'm a Nuggets fan. I became a Nuggets fan in 1984, right, under the Alex English, Fat Lever, all that. And then Mutombo came in. We had that playoff win, all that awesome stuff. And the Nuggets were late comers to the NBA because they were part of the ABA, right? And I think that that merger happened in 77.
Yeah, right around there, yeah.
Right around there, right? So, you know, they had never won before. They were always this kind of run-and-gun team that didn't care about defense and just scored 180 points, and then the other team would score 190. Doug Moe, right?
Yeah.
The good old days. But, you know, started to turn things around. What was his name?
George Karl.
George Karl. And then you had Melo and AI and stuff like that, and you know, these Nuggets teams and stuff. But then they got the Joker, and they kind of built this team up and then finally won a championship, which was awesome. Last year didn't have the year that I wanted them to, but made some additions, two big ones, Hardaway.
Yeah.
And then they got Bruce back.
Yeah, they got
which is amazing. They should have never gotten rid of Bruce Brown. They should have never gotten rid of him.
Bruce Brown is like your hard nosed, on the ground guy who's going to grind. He's going to just terrorize the other team.
The sixth man of the year. That's what you want.
Yeah, he's going to hit those clutch threes. You got Cam Johnson too. You know, you got rid of Michael Porter Jr.
and his bad back,
and you got like a guy who can give you 30 points on a given night and shoot a lot of threes. And
that's right.
You know, we all know the Joker's going to make him look good, even though he just thinks that basketball is just another job and he wants to go home back to Serbia every season. So.
Play with his horses.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, I just want my horses.
He's like, I've never, like, you know, my favorite Jokic moment was like, hey, how do you feel about winning the championship? And he's like, oh, it's just a job. You know, if anyone says they like their job, they're lying. And the guy's like, but millions of kids around the world dream of winning the NBA championship. You know, aren't you excited for the parade? And he's like, when's the parade? And he's like, it's Thursday. And he's like, oh, man, it's on Thursday. I want to go home.
He's just so non, he's beyond humble and just kind of also he's amazing to watch.
Yeah, he's just like...
He's an incredible player in all aspects. Defensively could be much better.
No, I mean, I think he's underrated because his thing is he's not going to block your shot, but he's going to deflect passes. He gets a lot of steals. He, like, his opposing field goal percentage is really good.
I guess it is. Yeah, you're right. But I... offensively, it's just... He controls that game so crazy. And, you know, he is one of the best passers I've ever seen. And I'm really looking forward to the Nuggets season, what they did on the offseason, because I thought last year was somewhat disappointing to me. But with that being said, that's my team, right?
Yeah.
Danny, your team is the team that a lot of people hate.
It's the Golden State Warriors, baby.
That's right, the friggin' Warriors. So tell us about what you like about the Warriors this year as opposed to last year. What additions did they make? And how do you fare them against the Nuggets this year?
Oh, you know, we got DeAnthony Melton's coming back from an injury. We got Big Al Horford. Okay. You know, one of the barometers of being able to join the Warriors is you're over 37 years old.
That's right.
but he's an elite center. He can shoot the three. He can pass. He can dribble. He can block shots, and, you know, the Warriors just got eaten up in the paint. Now is the era of the center. We got, you know, Quentin Post is coming back.
Yeah.
You know, despite his best efforts, Kuminga stuck with the Warriors for another few years. So, I mean, we got Curry. We got the Splash Brothers, Steph and Seth, coming in. Yeah. You know, Brandon Pajemski is now, I think, in his third or fourth year. You know, Draymond is still Draymond.
Is he still there? Is Green still there?
I think in the very first preseason game. You know, he's my spirit animal.
I hate him so much.
I play basketball.
I know,
you know,
he's such a jerk.
I'm always, like, pushing and shoving and talking shit on the court.
It's like the bad boy, like an old school piston.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the Warriors still have Kerr's system. You know, they got a center. The center was a weak point, you know, and... the Nuggets match up well against the Warriors because they're able to spread the floor, but at the same time, Jokic just goes under the basket and just eats us alive with those kind of close-range shots. You know, I think that with Bruce Brown and some of the quicker perimeter guys like Peyton Watson and those guys, they can match up on Curry, but, you know, Curry's still going to drop 35-40 on the Nuggets. It's inevitability. It's like Thanos, you know?
Yep.
I still think the Nuggets got the edge just with Jokic because, you know, Green's going to probably get himself like 5 technical fouls in the first minute. It's not possible, but, you know, that's just how
he'll do it.
You know, so if Green fouls himself out, you know, the Nuggets are still going to, you know, beat our arch rivals, the Rockets, though, Fred VanVleet being injured. So,
that's
you know, I like the Warriors to make the playoffs, but I just don't see it with the current roster construction. You know, they got Jimmy Butler, who's really good, you know. I just don't see it.
Right.
You know, I'm hopeful. I'm always going to bet my star mix that we're going to win the championship. I could see us making the playoffs, but getting past the Nuggets or the Thunder is going to be really tough.
Yeah, the Thunder's. The Thunder's so good.
Yeah.
And I don't see them not being as good as they are. They're going to be just as good this year.
I mean,
they're scary.
They're like legit. They're the truth. I mean, like, you know, you got Shea, who's like just unstoppable, especially in the NBA's kind of foul calling era. If you sneeze on someone, it's a foul. But, you know, you get the exception if you're Alex Caruso, because Alex Caruso can just climb on Jokic's back and put him in a chokehold, and it's not a foul, apparently.
That's so. Right. Totally. Yeah, so surprise team in the NBA that you're looking to come up this year that you think might be cool that we weren't expecting?
I'm kind of liking the Bulls.
Oh,
Chicago.
Okay, what do we got going? I haven't been following what we got going on with the Bulls.
Chicago's got like a lot of good young guys. They got Mattis Bozelis, is like a 6'10", sophomore guy coming up out of the kind of the high school and prep circuit. You got Yuki Kawamura, Japanese like point guard. You know, great passer. You got Josh Giddey. You got Vucevic. You got a lot of like young, hungry guys. You got Ayo Dosunmu, good guard. The Bulls can, like, do kind of cool things. They got a lot of kind of they're a hungry team, you know. They got a lot of kind of young guys looking to improve, making a name for themselves. They're not kind of a well-known team, so a lot of teams kind of won't be prepared for them, and they match up well because they can run, they can shoot, they can kind of play with a sense of nothing to lose, you know. And Josh Giddey's kind of like a triple-double threat, you know. Obviously, I don't want to praise him too much because of the whole kind of his whole scandal with, like, the underage kind of sex issue, but but he's a great player. So I'm kind of liking the Bulls. I also kind of interested to see kind of how the Knicks do. They're kind of a well-known team. So like my underdog team are like the Bulls. I'm kind of interested in to see kind of what the Timberwolves do after the kind of last season.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, interesting
with Ant.
So you got a hypothetical here, right? Last question. Once again, I want to thank Danny Lappin for coming on. This has been an awesome hour. You're welcome to come on anytime and blab about whatever you want to blab about with me. It's always a good conversation. Here's my two last questions. It's a game 7. You're the coach, right? You have a great starting lineup, but you got to put the lead player in there, right? For the game 7 tied, you're home. You putting LeBron in, or you putting Jordan in? Who are you putting in?
Oh, I'm putting in Jordan.
Yeah, all right, that's right. You're putting Jordan in. Jordan wins.
It's a space jam, you know. I think LeBron's going to throw up his hands and complain about getting fouled, and Jordan's just going to go through 5 guys and dunk it on him.
That's right. LeBron's also out the first couple of weeks, as I saw this morning.
Yeah, he got sciatica.
Sciatica.
But, I mean, if you're, 42 and you're like him, 6'9", like 2% body fat, just a, absolute, god of basketball with all the mileage he has on him. Just mad respect for him. Man.
Yeah, totally. Also, will Bronny play more G League games or NBA games this year?
Oh, I mean, Bronny's going to go into the home building business with all those bricks he's checking up.
Shots fired, baby.
He's going straight.
Shots fired and missed.
Yeah, exactly. He's going straight to the G League. You know, nepotism only gets you so far, man.
It's funny. People have been like online being like, oh, look at that triple single he's got going. 2 points, 1 rebound.
I mean,
you know,
like what I always feel like is I can go 0 for 12 in the NBA too.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
0 for 12, 10 turnovers, like. Had terrible plus minus. Yeah, I can do it, Yeah. I can shoot air balls like the rest of us.
Okay, last question before I turn this thing off and hand the radio station over to automation. Best pizza slice in Oneonta.
Oh, Johnny Gregolian sells, man.
There we go. We're back, baby. We're back. Danny, you're awesome. We love you.
I love you too, man. Thank
Rock
you.
Rock and roll, everybody.
Tune in to WONY 90.9 FM.
Meet Keith, loving dad, board game champ, bus driving pro.
I drive 65,000 miles in my bus each year. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. Like how there are some things I simply can't see. On my route the other day, a car tried to sneak past me and ends up right in my blind spot. I turned slowly, so accident avoided. but no car should be in the blind spot for a 40,000-pound bus.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.